that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather in other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against God? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and you're filled with bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard your complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the congregation of Israel, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up, covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. Then the Israelites saw it. They said to one another, what is this? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you. Our next scripture comes from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 through 4-11 on Pew Bible page 745. Hear God's word. When God saw that they did and how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I still was in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy with the bush. And when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked him, so that he could live it. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, it is better for me to die than to live. So God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor, for which you did not grow, came to be in the night and perished in the night. And should I not be concerned with Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who did not know their right hand from their left, and also many enemies? And finally, our final scripture from the book of Philippians. Sometimes I wonder if they might want to change the book of Exodus to the book of Israelite plans. It just continues. God takes them out of the land of Egypt, takes them out of slavery, takes them across the Red Sea, and every moment and every time comes that great refrain from Israel. Weren't you satisfied? Why did you bring us out here to die? We were fine in Egypt. The other day in Bible study, we read Psalm 105 and then 106 that relates kind of a Cliff Notes version of the book of Exodus, and it's this rattling off of the constant complaints against God and to a lesser extent to Moses and Aaron. And it just seems like one complaint after another. And then look at Jonah, who is sent by God to call on a people to turn away from the ways they were. And then when they do, instead of being full of himself and filling his oats because he's a successful prophet, he's mad because they did exactly what God wanted and what he was called to do. It just is hard as you look in this passage to see how human desire and want puts up against what God wants and what God calls to do. God gives the people of Israel manna, sustenance and care all along the long journey. A long time in the wilderness, they have God with them, beside them, all along the way. And every time, it would seem that it's not enough. Sometimes I wonder if it had been a case of cloudy with chance of meatballs, with food raining down from heaven, the Israelites would have had a complaint about that. It's just one complaint after another. And for Jonah, it's not multiple complaints, it's that one big one. You didn't destroy these people, God! And then there's the almost comical moment where Jonah is upset over the plans, and yet God can be compassionate over the entire story. These two passages from the Old Testament put on bare display the struggle of will and expectations between God and God's people. God promises and covenants to be with us, to look after and look out for us, and we seek to tell God exactly how that's going to look. We seek to tell God how God is going to be God. We get upset. We get indignant when God doesn't do like we told God he would do. Kind of feels like a kid who looks at mom and dad and says, well, you need to do this. He doesn't. It's hard to see as a playback. Sometimes Sarah and I have this similar issue with the kids. We'll say, if you're good, maybe we'll have something for dessert. And then comes the chime in, we're going to Mickey's! We're going to Saugerties! We're going to Mickey's! I said, dessert? Didn't say anything about Mickey's. Oh, we're going to Stewart's! We're going to Stewart's! We're going to Jolly Cow! You get so excited, and all you can say is, and then you can see the disappointment on their faces because it's not what they wanted. Sure, they got that great treat, the lovely toffee bars that had that nice crunch. Very good. And the kids loved them, but boy, it was hard not to see them with their palpable disappointment on their faces. That's what we do with God. God says, I will be with you, and you're like, all right, we're going been put under arrest for the faith, traveled, got shipwrecked, ended up in Rome, and now he's ready. He's ready to kick his feet up and retire. He's done. And yes, even maybe killed in God in the United States. The fact is, he's had a long ministry, a long time of service. Understanding that what he wants is to be able to be done. And yes, he uses the extreme example of death as being done. But the other side is, he knows what is best for the human, what is best for God. And the battle of wills for Paul is not that difficult. Because he sets aside that which he wants for what he needs from God. After all of that, you see how similar he is to the other prophets in Scripture. When Elijah is in the wilderness and he's exhausted on his last legs, and he goes up to the mountain and stands in the cave, goes before God and says, I have a very passion for the Lord. I'm tired. I'm done. I can't do this much longer. And then, what does he expect? He expects God to say, well, we've got this nice little village, this adult community right on the ocean for you to pick up your feet. Plenty of activities to do for you all, for you, Elijah, and you can enjoy it. What happens is God gives him a plan of what's going to happen. Timing, the ministry. God doesn't give him what he wants, but exactly what he wants. Paul writes to this church in the church in Philippi, he's in that place. Think of all the ministry he's done. All the many church arguments and fights he's had to put out. From the various letters, all of them, he's dealing with real issues, real conversations, real grief.